Okay, well, this is priceless. It's Windows is giving me a dialog box. It says, insert a disk. Please insert a disk into drive F. But then the best part, there's a hyperlinked sentence that says, help me choose a disk.
What?
Gonna click it and see what happens. Help
Help
me
me
choose a
choose a
disk. Like,
disk?
it's gonna recommend like a PC game or something. What could that possibly mean? Help me choose a disk. How do you know what disk I have? It doesn't make any sense. Welcome to episode 97 of One More Podcastle, part of the Retroids.com podcast network. My name is Eric Bailey. I know Hunter loves it when I yell into the microphone, and I am the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer slash community manager. And now I have two titles, which makes me twice as cool.
My name's Jason Lamb, resident Canadian, and I still haven't had those pancakes.
This is a tragedy.
Still going on about
a modern North American tragedy.
Yes.
All right then. Well,
if you were a little more lumberjackish, maybe you could have some flapjacks.
Of course. Yes.
Yes.
You know, if it were made out of wood, you could wear a lumber jacket.
All right, this is getting out of hand. Just gonna move on. Community manager.
Yeah.
Yep. Hunter is now a community manager. Manager. I'm gonna say a word correctly one of these times I speak tonight. Okay. So yeah, congratulations, Hunter. Good job.
Hey. Thanks. I don't know what I did.
Man, I'm not sure if you know what you're doing now, but enjoy.
Ooh. Well, that is. Yeah. That's excellent.
Ooh. Have fun managing the community. Big community.
All I have to say is first I want to apologize to the community. And if you could all just donate $20 to my PayPal account, I will make sure that it goes in the correct areas that will boost my presence anywhere but on the site. So, guys, just want to shoot that to me. It's.
Worst unprepared statement ever.
Well, I was like thinking of four different things at one time, and I was like, this could go anywhere. Let's just see what my brain thinks. It doesn't.
Well, yeah, let's never do that again.
Yeah.
So, have we played any old video games lately, gentlemen?
Yes.
What have you played, Jason? Please tell me about it. I like old video games. I love
Nazi
games.
It won't, though. It's what I played last week. I played more Duke It Out in DC.
Did you just say Nazi?
Yeah, I played some Nazis.
Nazi you won't, though? What does that even mean?
No, you won't like what I'm going to say because I played it last week.
There's not Nazis in Duke Nukem, is there?
No, there's not. I played Duke It Out in DC, which made me remember why I never finished Duke It Out in DC.
Yeah?
Because it is just awfully designed. Like, it's like they made Duke Nukem 3D, then went, you know what, guys? We're going to fire all the level designers and replace them with, like, monkeys with brain damage.
Wow.
Wow. That bad.
They're just, they're awful. There's a Smithsonian Museum level where they've actually gone through and they've fully recreated the Smithsonian Museum.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Which, in theory, sounds great. But in execution, it's freaking huge. And when you're running around looking for key cards, it's like, oh, I've gonna spend 40 minutes looking for a red card. And oh, it's down this hallway that I can only see if I enter this one room from a certain direction. If I enter it the other way, I'll just walk past it.
I like how the World Cup is over, but still you feel the need to discuss red cards.
I'm confused by it. What do you mean, like, you have to go down the hallway in a specific...
Like, say you enter this room. There's two entrances. So let's say one on the left, one on the right. If I come in on the left, there's an object that's blocking my view of a hallway I have to go down. So I don't see it, and I just continue walking. But if I come into that same room from the right, there's no object blocking my view of the hallway I then need to proceed down. So you just keep walking past areas.
I'm still kind of confused. Can you explain it a third time using different words?
Yeah.
All right. No, I'm not.
Pretend,
I'm not doing this.
Pretend the room is a pretend you have a watermelon.
Got it. Holding my watermelon.
You got, it's getting heavy. You got your watermelon. Okay. And you need, in that watermelon, there are three knives.
Oh. Like, stuck into it?
Stuck into it.
Okay.
If I look down the one knife, I can see the two other knives. But if I look down another knife, I can only see one other knife.
Oh, weird. That it?
You wanted a different example. That's the first word that came to my head. Watermelon.
I'm gonna set this down.
So let me ask. So, how many of these games have you played now? So you played Life's a Beach. Duke It Out in DC, the original. Have you seen any of these iterations increase in terms of game design or maybe new elements of gameplay? Or is it literally just Duke Nukem 3D reskin?
Yeah, it's pretty much just Duke Nukem 3D reskin. There's some, the levels are different. Like, you've got some, there's some areas where like, oh, I'm on this massive battleship. Like, okay,
but like, are there any
different.
New enemies or weapons?
No, that's the thing. At least with Life's a Beach, they reskinned everything. So all the enemies got like sunglasses and Hawaiian shirts and all that stuff. And your shotgun was a water gun. Duke It Out in DC, it's just like the reject levels from Duke Nukem 3D.
Wow, that sounds so bad.
So
yeah, it is.
Well, now obviously they did this so that, because it was probably something fairly simple to do because the engine was already created, Duke was already there, they just changed some level design and, you know, reskinned some graphics. Like, I mean, obviously this had to have been just like a money catch. It's a money grab. That's all this was.
Oh, totally is. And it's not the same developer either.
Cash grab.
Really?
Lad, all the expansion packs were given out to external
credits
developers.
And dollar bills.
So 3D Realms couldn't even put forth the money, time, or the effort to put together what essentially is DLC.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow. That's sad, man.
Grabbing money.
That's
sad.
I don't know.
Grabbing money.
Yeah, it kind of sucked.
But yet you're playing them, so clearly.
Yes. And I will beat them.
Why?
Beat that game.
I don't know.
Are you using cheat codes?
I'm using cheat codes. Nope.
No.
Not even one.
Oh, so you're like, you're...
I'm actually playing through.
Beating the game.
Wow.
Mm-mm-mm. Mind you, I won't... Mm-mm-mm. I save frequently. Because the way the game works, there's no checkpoints. So if I got to the very end of the level and died, I'd have to start again. So once in a while, I'll save. Just so I don't have to do...
Reincarnation.
A lot of backtracking. I love your singing there, Bailey.
Thank you, Jason.
Is that what he's doing? I
don't know. What have you been playing, Hunter?
Well, I mean, kind of in the same vein. I'm still playing Paper Mario.
Cool.
So
nice.
Definitely enjoying that. I'm starting to pay attention more to like the actual like game itself and like what's going on around the game rather than like the storyline and stuff. Because I've played through the parts that I'm playing through now probably 4 or 5 times. So I don't even care about, like, what everybody's saying. Like, I just keep skipping through. And, like, I've come to the conclusion that Mario is crazy. Just absolutely crazy. Like, you want to talk about... It's the definition of insanity, man. Like, I haven't played a series of games where the protagonist... is essentially going after the exact same goal and more likely with the exact same antagonist. Like, no matter where he goes, trouble finds him, and it's like he's got nothing better to do, so he just goes for it. You know what I mean? Even with, Super Mario Sunshine? It's like, oh no, we're going to task you to clean this place up because there's a lookalike of you running around messing things up. We know it's not you. At least we have a feeling it's not you. But we're going to make you clean it up. Here's a water gun. It's like, dude, I'm on vacation. Like, the last thing I want to do is work.
Yeah.
It's sad, actually, is what it is. But
I think I understand.
It's, you know, and it, like, I start to see, like, Nintendo gaming elements where, oh, we'll give you the super boots. So now when you stomp on somebody's head, you do 2 damage instead of 1. First enemy you encounter, it's got a spike in his head, so you can't jump on him. Like, thanks, Nintendo. It's exactly what I wanted. Oh, I got to do it this other way now? Awesome.
Why can't you just give me a gun?
I don't.
Just walk up to turtles, just bam! Blow their head off. Yeah.
That wouldn't be.
Is Mario, like, executing people on the streets?
Because it's Mario?
That's a good question.
Why doesn't Mario use a gun? But he has no problem, like, beating these animals to death.
He wields a hammer all the time.
Hands and
feet.
Sets
things on fire, man.
And a hammer. Like, he takes a hammer and is smashing things in the face. Why doesn't he just shoot everything?
I think Nintendo should gradually escalate towards a more violent, like, almost like for adults, Mario. Like, there should be a game where it's, like, cartoony in the mallet. We've seen that. But then, like, get a little less cartoony, a little more in-depth in the story. Like, what is this? Like a PG-13? And then he's, like, using a wrench. Like, just beating stuff with a wrench. And then it's like, whoa. Yeah. And then have your shooter, Mario. He's just fed up. He's just like, I'm going to straight up kill Bowser. I'm tired of rescuing the stupid princess. Yeah. I'm just going to take a shot.
It's Mario unhinged.
I'm just going to do this. Excuse me.
So that actually kind of brings up 2 things. One, if anybody's ever watched the Game Theorists series on YouTube, this guy's name's Matt Pat. He takes video games and, like, scientifically goes in and tries to figure out if it's true or what's really going on. It's really, really good. Like, Bailey, if you haven't seen it, you would definitely dig it. I guarantee it. But he actually has an entire episode where he takes all these clues from all these different Mario games and makes Mario out to be, like, a sadistic, you know, psychopath. And, like, some of the stuff is crazy because, like, some of the things I didn't even realize or recognize or even gotten so far into a game to notice. So, yeah, like, he makes a pretty good point. But on terms of doing, like, the quote-unquote adult Mario, somebody did a Mario run-through. It's pretty short. It's only, like, 5 minutes, but they put realistic sounds behind it. So, like, when he's running around underground, like, it's, like, echoing, and you can hear him hitting, like, little rocks and stuff. And, like, every time he jumps, like, you hear, like, a guy go, ugh! You know, like, kind of like a Quake 3 arena sort of grunt, you know? Like, that, it's pretty cool. Like, I would take that. Like, I would take the cartoony-looking Mario, but, like, if there was, like, realistic sounds behind it,
nice.
Like, that would be awesome. Like, that, I would play for that.
Every time he punches a brick, he's like, son of a...
Yeah. Or, like, when, like, there was another one when he was throwing fireballs. Like, you can hear it, like, take over the Goomba, and he, like, runs screaming. Like, it's hilarious.
I am in so much pain right now.
Yeah, like, it's pretty, like, you're hearing people scream and stuff, and, man, it's something else.
Yeah, I love hearing people scream.
It's crazy. It's good times. I think we lost Jason, though. Oh, there he is. Oh.
Just what? Completely Mark's lost him in the conversation.
Yeah. He's Mario, gone. He's like, just doesn't out. Get it. Jumping around on stuff.
Doesn't get it. Doesn't understand the appeal of a video game.
It's weird, man.
No, I hate video games. I'm anti-video games.
It's super weird.
I don't know why I'm here.
For anyone who's never watched our podcast before, Jason, he's...
Is he? Is he?
Yeah.
Am I?
So that explains everything. There you go.
Yeah.
So, I didn't play any old video games, but no, hear me out.
God. Yeah, because it's not like we don't do this once a week at the exact same time.
I have a thing. I have a story. I have an explanation. Here, okay. I received
it's not gonna be any good,
something
Jason.
In the mail.
No, it's not.
A mysterious, horrifying thing. This is a very small disc. It's the size of a GameCube game disc, in fact. And it's labeled MK Ash.
What?
Who would like to venture a guess as to what game this is?
I'm good.
Because if you guessed that somebody sent me a copy.
Oh, is it Mary-Kate and Ashley?
No.
Mary-Kate and Ashley, Sweet 16,
oh my God, yes.
Licensed Drive.
Why?
You would be correct.
Who?
I assume to torture me and damn my soul to gaming hell for eternity. So, it's not even made by Acclaim. It's made by Club Acclaim. I mean,
And so the other important thing to mention is on the game, it says that it's rated E for everybody. Nobody should play that game. It should be N. Or like just a big goose egg or a zero or something.
Yeah, I'm not exaggerating or using hyperbole in any way when I say that on two separate occasions within the past week, on two like different times, I just sat there holding it and I just stared at the disc. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like it was like an hour. It was probably like 5 minutes. But I mean, I really considered playing it. I was like, should I play it? And this week I decided no. I am resisting the allure
now
of the forbidden object. Willpower 1, Mary-Kate and Ashley 0.
Who sent it to you, though?
I'm not 100% certain. I have a couple theories. One of which was Norman Caruso. When I straight up asked him if he did, he just tweeted back a smiley face. Just kind of leaving it open, like, if you want to go ahead and think I did, go ahead. But otherwise, I may not really know, actually. The only reason I say that is because I happen to know where geographically he lives, and this was nearby. Like, it's because it was the return address, it was handwritten from some game shop, like some small independently owned one. So, like, someone bought it and had him send this to me. Like,
yeah, like. How could you walk up to the counter with that in your hand and say to the person behind the till, yes, I would like to spend my hard-earned money on this. Please, take my money now before I come to my senses.
So, like I said, I did not play any old video games, but one or two may have been on my mind.
Yeah.
Haunting my mind, in fact. I'm just gonna throw it over here now.
Yitta! Yarimashita! Tsui ni goru shimashita!
The good news is we have a listener email discussion question. So let's talk about that instead. It's a bit better than Mary Crap and Trashly. Here we go. From one legend to another, I have a question for you and your wacky pals, or perhaps it is more of a topic. I was hopping around a forum, and an interesting debate popped up. Which controller was better, the SNES controller or the Genesis controller? So I was just about to answer, when instead I got a little upset. You see, the Genesis was made to compete with the NES. The Genesis Does What Nintendo Don't campaign was a direct attack at the gray box. Want to play Strider? Well, there's the really awesome-looking one, or the shitty Ninja Gaiden clone. Despite these facts, retro gamers tend to put the Genesis up against the SNES. While, sure, they're both 16-bit, they were far enough apart in time that there should be a little more information given. What do you guys think about this age-old question? I'm not asking for a full-blown debate on which is better, but more about how you feel about the question with those things in mind. As for the controller debate, give Genesis backers the option to use the 6-button controller and it becomes more fair. I prefer that one because I've never been a big fan of the SNES shoulder buttons. Thanks for all the fish. Sega Galactico, a.k.a. @Sega_legend on Twitter. P.S. Blast processing!
Stop. Blast processing. Stop.
There you have it.
So let's let Jason go because he doesn't like controllers. Just see what his pick is.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
And he has
that.
No familiarity with either
system.
No,
absolutely.
I'd love to hear Jason's take on this topic.
Well, no, at Indie PopCon, we spent a lot of time using that Genesis.
We did. We were playing Mega Bomberman.
Good call. So okay.
We did.
A lot. 4-player, constantly.
Yeah. So oh my gosh, so much Mega Bomberman.
Oh my gosh.
Haven't
so
played
much.
It since.
I am going to say, not a huge fan of that controller.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably take the Super Nintendo one over it.
Yeah, what's up with the shoulder button hate, Sega Legend? Shoulder buttons are fantastic. Your thumbs can only be so many places at once. Yeah. But these fingers up here? Oh, this is where it's at.
There's nothing going on with those index fingers. Let's put them to work. Let's put them to work.
Yeah.
So. That's it. That's all you got, Jason.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you, Jason.
Yeah, I don't know. Controllers.
Blech.
Screw those things. The only control here. I've got this Xbox controller. It plugs into my computer.
Yeah, that's an awful controller.
No, that's a great controller.
No, it's really bad. D pads.
The Xbox one. The D pad.
Stinky D pad.
Yeah.
Oh, it has one of the worst D pads I have ever used. So.
No, I like Hunter's stinky D pad. That's exactly what it is.
See, I didn't like the D pad on the Genesis controller either.
Yeah, but here's the thing about 16-bit era controllers. The D-pad on your controller and the D-pad on your friend's controller could feel completely different.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, some people like a looser D-pad, some people like extremely tight, and especially on the Genesis, depending on whether you went first party, third party, first generation, third generation, there was such a wide variety of D-pad feel. There were so many different experiences to be had. The tactile feedback, such a broad spectrum.
For your thumb.
For your thumb.
Well, I'm going to spin it on its head. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to say that it's game specific of what controller's the best. I think I talked about this on a earlier podcast. It's probably a month or 2 months ago now. But I was playing Mortal Kombat for the Genesis, which is a great game. But the controller setup for that is not ideal for a six-button controller, especially six face buttons, because the high punch, low punch are X and A. Block is both Y and B, and then Z and C are high kick and low kick. So to do certain moves like Sub-Zero Slide, you actually have to put it on your leg so you can use three fingers to hit the buttons at the same time. Whereas with the Super NES, you got the shoulder button as your block button.
What?
So you can kind of just mash your thumb over and then use your index finger. But games like Street Fighter definitely need a six-button controller. Those shoulder buttons definitely get in the way because they don't have the same feel as the face buttons do, so it kind of throws you off a little bit.
I agree. I mean, if you play any of those fighting games at the arcade, there are six buttons and two rows.
Right.
Light, medium, clearly the Genesis controller reigns supreme there.
Yeah, so the problem with giving a controller six buttons, especially during the 16-bit era, there was so many developers who had no idea what to do with six buttons on a controller.
So true.
Because they came from having two. So like Sonic is a perfect example. How do you make Sonic jump? All six buttons make Sonic jump. Like it's
every single
it's
button.
It's pointless. Nice. You know what I mean? Like rather than keeping them dead, like there's some games that take the Genesis controller and they make B the neutral. So it's like if you want to do anything, you got to go back and forth. That's awkward as hell too because they're so used to being on the outer edge of the controller to begin with and then moving inward, you know, with your thumb.
And then you have Mega Bomberman, where C button does something, B button does something sometimes, and all the other buttons are useless. Could have played this
on
the
NES.
That
controller was created for Street Fighter. Like, I really do believe that. Like, I think when they saw how big Street Fighter got and the setup it was made with, like, I think they were like, you know what? Our next controller is going to have six buttons. We're going to wait a little bit, but we're definitely going to do it because of Street Fighter. And, like, that's a great idea, but now these developers are like, what the hell am I supposed to do with the other five buttons on this controller? So, I don't know. Like, there's times where I need it, and there's times where I'd rather
I'm
have
with
a Super
you.
NES controller.
Yeah, because the thing about fighting games is no matter how complex they get, you only need one or two buttons at a time. Well, actually, really, usually only one button. For more complex things, I do think Super Nintendo controllers just better. Two examples, like Yoshi's Island, like to aim lock and jump and throw an egg all in the same motion. I can't imagine doing that with my left hand unable to hit a shoulder button and only like a thumb to hit six. There's no way.
Yeah.
Tetris Attack. To be able to move the cursor and bring more pieces up and rotate pieces. I guess you could do it. No, you couldn't do it at the same time with face buttons. You'd have to, like, two finger. Oh, it's just weird. I can't. Ugh.
Yeah, like, you'd have to play it on your leg. Yeah. I've done that for Genesis games a couple of times. Yeah. It's annoying. Because it's, like, half hanging off, so you still got your thumb on the D-pad, but it's, like, on your leg, so you're, like, pushing down with three different fingers. Like, it's people look at you weird when you play a game like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Super Nintendo totally wins.
No, I wouldn't go that far. But
yeah, I would. I'm going there. Yeah.
Blast processing. Stop.
Nothing to do with the controller.
Sure does. It's got everything. Dude, blast processing's got everything to do with everything.
Yeah.
That's true. I forgot.
Come on, my bad. Blast processing.
Me and my Nintendo bias.
Even I wish I had some blast processing.
There you go. There you go. You would. Everybody could use just a little blast processing in the morning to get your day going, you know? Don't need 5-hour energy. You don't need a cup of coffee. You don't need caffeinated drinks. You just need a little bit of blast processing from the Sega Genesis.
Just need a little blast processing.
There you go.
You're good.
Has life got you down? Feeling in the dumps.
There you go.
Blast processing.
There you go. Yeah. So.
Blast processing.
But overall, I think the PlayStation 2 controller is probably the best one made.
Okay. That's fair.
I mean, it's pretty close to the GameCube. I'm not going to lie. I'm really loving my GameCube controller, but...
Yeah, I do like that controller. It's weird, but it's a good controller.
See, I think it's, again, it's kind of...
Once you realize it's dual analog with,
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, game-specific. Like, it's really good in some games. It's really awkward with others. But, like, that PlayStation 2 controller with those dual analog sticks, like that... There's a reason that they haven't changed that in three generations, because that controller works for everything.
If the GameCube controller only had four shoulder buttons.
Yeah, that's...
It's got three.
I think it's weird that it has three. Like, I have two, it's or Nintendo. Four. Like, what's three? Why do you feel the need to have this weird holdover to the N64? Oh, we need a Z button. Throw it on top.
Yeah, like the Z button has become the select button. Like, you forget it's even there half the time because it doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Like,
so
oh, there's
dumb.
Another button here? Why is it purple? Ugh. That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. They just threw it on. Come on, Nintendo.
Like, well, we had a Z trigger on the 64 controller. We might as well put it back on. Why? Why would you put it back on? It had purpose. This doesn't.
Nintendo, yeah. Because it was like under you. It was like a trigger. But on the GameCube, it's like a pimple.
It's weird.
Z button is a pimple. You try and pop it and it just gets harder.
It's crazy.
You know what? Nintendo is an insanity factory. They just put a bunch of chaos into a tube. They squeeze it out and hope that something happens. Occasionally it takes off the Wii. Well, that's weird, crazy. Everyone loves it.
See, this is why I'm so anal about controls and games. Because it's like you've got this beautiful piece of hardware that you're going to hold. It's your only way you can interact with the game. And it's like if you don't take more than enough time to program it correctly so it feels intuitive and it feels natural and it makes sense, like that's going to crush your game, regardless of how good it is. Because, like, the whole time, you're going to be like, why are these mapped the way that they are? Like, this, I feel like my hands are, like, contorted and, like, freezing up on me because I got to hit the Z button that nobody even knows is there. It's crazy.
Yeah. Stupid little purple Z button zit.
The zit button?
The zit button.
The zit button, yes! Episode.
Don't push it. Oh.
Andrew, don't do a graphic for that one. Oh!
He pushed the zit button.
And on that note, let's take a music break. We'll be right back. And we're back. That was Mummy Dance by Maze Dude, a remix from Kirby Superstar for all you Egyptian dance track fans out there. Get down now. Speaking of getting down, it's time for the best part of our podcast, the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For anyone who doesn't know, or for those who need a recap anyway, this is the part where each of us has secretly chosen an old video game. We'll each have 1 minute to reveal our previously secret choices, and then we're pretty much just going to spend the rest of the episode arguing about who picked the best game. But the best part is that you, the listener, get to decide by voting in a poll on the episode page of the podcast, an episode on onemorecastle.com. That's the name of the website. That's what it was. Onemorecastle.com. Go there. Go there. And please vote, leave comments. 2 weeks ago, the theme was bad games from great franchises. And according to my notes, I don't know if this is right, but Jason won?
Yes.
What?
With Star Fox Adventures?
No.
Yes. Getting more votes than me and Hunter combined, even though I had Mortal Kombat Special Forces and Hunter had Contra Legacy of War. I guess I wasn't clear enough that you were supposed to be voting for like the worst game, like the best example of the theme. But that's okay. I don't blame listeners. Whatever.
Sounds like you do a little bit.
I'm not bitter.
Just get off your bitter bike. Get off your bitter bike.
I like that. That's no dirt off my shoulder. Congratulations, I guess, Jason. Whatever.
Thanks.
Yeah, sure. Whatever. Let's move on.
Yeah. Whatever.
Moving on tonight's theme. For episode 97 is games of 1997. So video games that released in 1997, the year, like the chronological time period. So that's what we're doing tonight. Yeah. So I'm excited about my game. I think it's pretty unique and nobody sees it coming. It's kind of cool. It's up my alley. I don't know about you guys, but yeah, should be fun. 1997, yeah. I was 11 years old.
I was 9.
God, you guys are young.
You're a baby. Yeah, right? How old are you, Hunter?
28. I'll be 29 in October.
Old man Hunter.
So you're less than a year older than me?
Yeah. You guys are young.
Okay.
A lot happened in that less of a year, okay? You weren't there. Yeah. You wouldn't know.
True. I like it. All right, am I still going first every episode?
You are.
Are we not ever going to change that?
We're never going to change.
We've almost gone 100 episodes of not changing it. Why would we do that now?
Yeah.
While that is a fair question, I think change is okay sometimes.
Sometimes.
I'm ready, though. Jason, when you have 1 minute on the clock, I'm ready to introduce the world to my game.
Give me 1 sec.
What?
I actually have to leave for this. Give me 1 sec. I'm serious. I have to leave. Give me 1 sec.
I don't know what he's doing. I'm confused.
Is this for real?
I'm actually a little worried now, actually.
He's never done this before. Like, just skipped out right before we start the Retro Showdown.
He's like, oh, we're doing the Retro Showdown? Yeah, I'll be back.
All right, I'm ready.
What'd you do?
I'd check if my door's locked.
You did that now.
Well, yeah, because the girlfriend's getting home soon, and I always forget to lock the door.
So, like, are you standing there in your underwear, or do you get, like, a dead hooker midget in the back that you want to keep, make sure she doesn't see, or...
Maybe. Yeah.
Like how oddly...
No, like, the door to my house, I usually forget to lock. No, to the house.
Oh,
she's like, why didn't you...
Yeah, but to the house.
Probably should be locked.
Yeah.
No, the hooker door is always locked.
it's known as
the hooker door. Is always locked. Okay.
Oh, you don't want to go down there. That's the hooker door.
The prostitute chamber.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yeah. So you ready?
What? I'm ready.
All right. You may begin.
My game is Ukanancha no Hono no Challenger Denryu Irairabo. Oh, yeah. This game is fantastic. It was made by Hudson and released on that in 1997 for the Nintendo 64. It's based on the same Japanese television game show as the Neo Geo arcade game, The Irritating Maze. Denryu Iroibo is basically like a two-dimensional top-down marble madness, which might be ironic considering that the ball and courses are rendered with nice chunky polygons. As a contestant, you are tasked with guiding the tip of your sword through a geometrical course, but if you touch a wall, you lose operation style and must restart the level. Every stage has a time limit, and some stages have moving obstacles you must avoid. It's Uchinancha no Honoro Challenger Denryu Iroibo, and it's a lot of fun.
Okay. Hunter?
What's it called?
It's called The Irritating Maze.
Is it? Okay.
No, that's the Neo Geo Arcade. It's actually pretty darn different from the Nintendo 64 version, if we're to be honest.
So how do you spell that?
Well, there are
Is there an English version?
No, it's Japanese exclusive, my friend. Japan only.
For the Nintendo 64.
Do you still want to know how it's spelled? It's going to take me like 50 seconds to get through the whole title.
It's pretty... Uchen Danchen no Hono.
That's the first half of the title, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. Good job, Jason.
Okay, I found it.
Please, because...
I posted it for Hunter.
Nice.
It's in the chat.
You literally posted a link in...
I don't know anymore.
It's funny. Yeah. There it is.
All right. Hunter, are you ready? After that.
No. Okay.
Yes, I win by default.
Let's do this!
Make you both quit. My choice is so intimidating.
All right. You may begin.
1997. It was a great year for video games, with one console specifically, the Nintendo 64. A strange little black console featuring four controller ports for multiplayers and one super weird controller was the platform for an interesting title, piercing fierce competitors head-to-head. In stop motion, Clay Action. Yes, it's Clay Fighter 63 and a third. A head-to-head fighter that pits the likes of the Blob, Bad Mr. Frosty, and Ichabod Clay in the surrounding area of the Isle of Claymodo, complete with a fun combo system, finishing moves, and great color commentary. Clay Fighter 63 and a third sets the stage for all the fighting games to come, yet sadly, this is the last in its series. Clay Fighter 63 and a third. Clay Fighter.
Clay Fighter. Clay Fighter.
Yeah.
Splat. But game six. You game six.
No, it's
a
clay
piece
fighter.
Of crap. It's a piece of clay. Shaped like a piece of clay.
Anyway.
Oh yeah.
All right. I guess I'll.
Yeah. Do something.
Screw you.
Whoa.
Okay. 1997.
Wow.
What a glorious year. In entertainment. 1997 just happened to mark the 20th anniversary of the greatest film franchise of all time, if you don't count the prequels. That's right, 1997 was the 20th anniversary of Star Wars. Not only did the movies come back in the theater, and that weird special edition came out in that gold VHS box set, which everyone seemed to have, also marked the release of Star Wars X-Wing vs. TIE Fighter. Featuring over 70 spaceships, this game let you blast your way through 16 exciting missions and play with up to 8 people per team online. That's Star Wars X-Wing vs. TIE Fighter for the PC.
Now that game was terrible.
Wow, a PC.
No, that game was freaking
game.
Amazing.
Okay, I have so many questions for both of you.
All right.
Where, who...
God, your game is so weird, Yo. Bailey.
How should I begin?
Ask
Jason. Me. Jason. It's great, isn't it?
No.
It's a lot of fun. Jason.
Yes.
You said X-Wing versus... eight people per team?
Yeah, two teams, 16 people.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. How many teams? That's the relevant piece.
Yeah.
If you said like 8 teams, I would have been like, 64 people. Wow, that's really impressive. And then you were like, 2 teams. And I was like, that's kind of limited.
That's
true.
97.
Yeah, Perfect Dark had 8 different teams.
That was a great game, though. This is not.
Yeah. You could name them.
Yeah.
Me and my friends would try to name the teams after having to like try something to do with the colors, you know?
Yeah.
Like Team Yellow might be like piss people or something. Like that.
Why is that the first one you would go to? Why? Why is that the first one you would go to?
It's very memorable. Red team was the commies. Blue team was the bedwetters. Remember that?
Oh, jeez.
Played so much for.
Well, what are you gonna?
Jason
do?
Literally just left. He just left.
What was the name of Red Wing Shoes? Is that what the name of this game was called?
Red Wing Shoes. Yes.
Rebels.
Jason just left. Why did Jason leave?
He got.
Jason, why did you leave? What is wrong with you? It's so.
Got mad at you.
Yeah. I mean, your game's bad, but jeez, what the kill yourself?
I don't know.
Retreating to the hooker room, Lamb.
They found me. I don't know how they did it, but they found me.
Yeah. So, Hunter.
Yes.
I'm actually gonna be like a little, just a little honest and serious. Like, let's actually talk, like gaming critique speak.
Sure. Yeah. Let's hear it.
Okay. You said. Like, you're telling us in your intro about Clay Fighter 63 and a third, and I understand that the introduction is a limited format. There's constraints of time and
Okay.
Here's my point. You're saying that Clay Fighter 63 and a third has a combo system, special moves, and finishing moves, but by 1997, there's nothing special about that. Can you... I'm going to give you a chance here. Like, here's your opportunity. Can you tell us what actually makes the game distinctive or unique?
It's completely made of clay. And they use...
You just shove the clay right in your console. Just squish it around.
Like, does the clay have to be the shape of a cartridge? Or can I just kind of mash any shape in there?
You can just mash it in there. As long as it's connecting to the pin connector inside, you should be fine.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
If I have two clay cartridges and I smush them together... Do I double the amount of character roster?
Yes, total. You do. That is true. Yes.
Awesome.
So
you're probably going to get my vote this week. Yeah, that's amazing technology.
No, I mean, come on. So clay animation, stop animation's been around for years. I mean, decades, probably even a century by now. A long freaking time, okay? And I remember reading in a GamePro magazine, they were interviewing the guys at Interplay. Yeah, Interplay. When they were making the SNES game, the first one in the series, about how they were using clay models to create everything, not just the characters, but the backgrounds and all of the moving pieces using stop motion animation. That kind of blew my mind as a kid because I'm like, oh, I do stop motion. Like, how are you going to make a game out of this? That's just silly. It's silly. Nobody can do that. But then it came out and it was amazing. And then the second one came out and it was even better. And then 63 and a third came out, and it took all of those things that I thought of the original two games and just blew it up 1,000-fold. Like, they did everything right. Like, all of the backgrounds are immersive and massive and just beautiful and detailed. All of the characters are super unique. All the animations are so fluid. Like, just the amount of man hours it would have taken, no matter how big the team, to sit down and create this entire game out of clay and stop motion. Like, that is amazing. Like, stuff like that doesn't happen anymore. Like, if I can't run it in Unity, like, I'm not doing it. Like, if it's not already pre-rendered light and natural light within the environment, like, we're just not going to use it. Like, that's that. Like, they don't take chances anymore. And yes, rest in peace, GamePro.
So, graphics.
Graphics make the game. I've said that before. I'll say it again. That's a lie. I've never said that.
Okay.
There you go.
Thank you.
There you go. And the best part, it's fun. It's a fun, challenging game.
Is it?
That's a good selling point. I'll give you that. Yes.
Bailey. I found a video of your game.
Cool.
Playthrough. It's bad would be giving it credit.
It looks really bad for coming out on the 64. Like,
I will say the graphics are steaming garbage.
Like
the graphics are horrible.
There's not even textures on some of the stuff. Like, they're just okay, we're just going to make this chrome.
Everything is just a gray polygon. Like, it's awful graphic. It would work better as a two-dimensional game. Like, if it used, like, vector art, like, just line art, they would work 20 times better.
And why is there a Japanese guy yelling nonstop as he plays?
Because that makes it like awesome.
Literally like, yelling nonstop. It goes, counts down, 3, 2, 1, goes just like, oh, da, da, ya. And it's just like 3 minutes of him yelling as your ball
yes,
is bouncing
yes,
around.
It's so great. It's glorious.
And you get to the end, and this crappy thing spins. And I'm like, yeah, beat the level. I don't have to. Oh, here we go again.
Just,
more yelling for another 3 minutes.
You just sold me on it, Jason. Because it's just crap. Like being on a Japanese game show. Like, yeah, the Japanese yelling.
I don't get it, man. Like, it's
there's no greater excitement in life.
What?
Than having a Japanese man yell at you while you're doing something challenging. There's nothing greater than
that's
that.
That's true.
You can quote me on that. Please do. Nothing more exciting in life.
I just hit a point in the video where, for those of you who probably have never seen this game, you're going through like these mazes of sorts almost, and there's stuff that pops out to block the ball from proceeding.
Yeah.
In this particular one, there's like a woman robot behind the maze.
Right?
And her breasts are like punching out to block the ball.
It's definitely a Japanese game.
Yes.
If it's not Dragon Ball Z or Yu-Gi-Oh, it's weird shit like this. Like, it just nothing makes any sense.
I swear, the
Nintendo 64 got the best Japanese exclusive games. I mean, I've brought a couple to the show before, and it's just, it's amazing what games have. I mean, well, actually, I think any system has a release out like NES.
It's like, it just looks insane.
Yeah, it is. That's what's great about it. I went with the insanity choice this week because it's a blast. Just watching the video and cranking the volume up and having yourself immersed in the Japanese game show atmosphere is...
So how did you even find this game? That's really what's bugging me. Is how would you even find something like this?
Yeah.
Here's the better question.
I don't know if there is a better question.
Here's the better question. Should I tell you how I heard about this game?
I would hope so.
I'm gonna keep it a secret. I'm not gonna tell you.
What?
Okay, you brought the worst game.
Yeah.
No, it's like, so good.
There's no debate.
It's really bad, Bailey. Let me just say this. Like, I understand the whole idea of the showdown is to explain why you guys' games are crap and mine's the best. And sometimes I'll admit that I've said things that I don't actually agree with. And certain games that you guys pick, but you know, that's how we play this game. Bailey, this game is really bad. Like, just all around. I'm looking at it and I'm like, there's 1,000 things they could do to fix this, to make this better. But I just
like it just doesn't look done.
Yes, it looks incomplete.
I know, and that's part of the charm and the appeal and the challenge. Like, I get it if it's not up your alley, like if it's not your cup of tea, to use another metaphor, like, but I like these kind of quirky puzzle games. And, like, imagine Marble Madness, but with, I know I'm obsessed with that game, I'm so sorry, but, like, with an analog stick.
But it doesn't even...
It's like full analog control. Variable speed to roll in different directions!
So, like Marble Madness with a trackball when it was released on the arcade?
It just looks so good.
But I don't really like trackballs. I don't like trackballs.
Like, nothing makes me want to play this.
No.
It's like a never... You know those stages in platformers where it's like things are smashing down from the ceiling and you have to dodge them?
Right.
And they're always a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
It's like signing up to just... repeatedly run through those hallways again and again. Just have things smashing down on a ball.
Right.
You're like, this is great. I dodged something.
Yeah, it's really bad, man. Like, it just... Yeah. Like, I go on Game Jolt all the time to see all these works in progress, to see what these developers are making. And, like, some of them, like, neat ideas, and some of them are almost done. It's like, wow, this game's almost done. That's great. And then, like, you see things like this, and this is usually the point in the production cycle where you're like, you know what? I don't have the energy to do this anymore. I don't have the time to put into this crappy game anymore. Like, if anybody wants to take it over, you can. I'm done. I'm just gonna keep it on this server. Anybody wants to touch it, go for it. No, they released it. Hudson Soft released it. You're like, no, we are releasing this game. Well, sir, it's not done. It looks done to me. Okay? It looks done to me. Have you played our other games? They're terrible. This is gonna fit just fine in the rest of our armoire where we're gonna put all of our stacks of money. Perfect.
But okay, at least in my introduction, didn't try to tie in my game with the release of Star Wars Special Edition.
Yeah.
That is a greater sin.
Came out the same year.
It was committed by Jason.
It was a Star Wars year.
Right, and it, yeah, ew, gross, bleh.
What? It's, yeah.
Special Edition is mass, whatever. That's a cash grab. That's a bigger
Bailey,
cash
let me ask you a question. Have you seen Star Wars?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. When you were watching the movie...
A question.
Questions about that. When you were watching the movie, did you ever think, you know what? If I could be anybody in this movie, I want to be Porkins, who just goes straight down into the Death Star, riding... And those X-Wings and those Y-Wings.
I can't shake them! Stay on target. Stay on target!
I never thought that as a kid. Like, I always wanted to be Luke or Han Solo. I don't want to be flying around a stupid plane in outer space. It's like the most boring thing ever.
The thing is, I wanted to be... Maybe this is actually, like...
Porkins? Did you want to be Porkins? Because he goes down pretty quick, man.
Okay. I picked a really time to pause and... Really bad time to pause in that sentence. I'm going to try and finish. Maybe this is like counter to the point I know you're trying to make, but I actually did. Like, there were X-Wing pilots I wanted to be. Like, I wanted to be a part of Red Squadron. I wanted to be Red 8.
No.
Like, I even now, sometimes driving down the highway, I imagine I'm Red 8. Checking in.
I'm Red 8. Man. I'm checking in.
Leading the squadron.
Oh, you lovely ladies and I, Red Air, Red 8, is here standing checking by. In. We got the smooth tunes. I got nothing. It's terrible. No, never. Not once. Ever.
Trent, that was last week, Hunter, that we took on Late Night Radio Voices.
Oh, that's right.
Lock S foils and attack that's positions. Awesome. Like, I mean, I wanted to be Red 8.
Yes. That's like, and the great thing about my game.
Ready. Yeah. My R2 astromech unit was strapped in. Yeah.
No.
The great thing about this game is you can be... one of like over 50 ships, you can pilot them. You're like, oh yeah, I'm gonna be an X-Wing, I'm gonna be a TIE fighter, I'm gonna be a TIE interceptor.
But they all like fly and shoot lasers and crap, right?
No, some have different ones. Some have ion cannons, some have like missiles,
Different kinds of lasers,
torpedoes,
that look like lasers.
Different kinds of at least in Hunter's game. When you pick different things, they're, like, super different.
Yeah, but they do
super.
Hey, listen, the ion thing only knocks out the shields. Doesn't do damage to actual hull.
So it's a weak laser? Why would I want to shoot a weak laser?
Because it knocks out the shield faster than the laser, so use it and switch over.
This is nothing I want to do.
It's another kind of laser. It's a bunch of lasers. Like, do you know how lame a laser light show is? Nobody goes to see just a laser light show.
It's a space
laser
light show.
Laser light shows... are like the opening act for baseball games, which in themselves are one of the most boring things people pay to go see. I mean, lasers are like way down there on the lame scale. Let's be really honest right now. Nobody will admit it, but I'm putting it out there. I'm saying the words everyone wants to hear, and everyone's thinking, and nobody has the courage to say, lasers are lame.
Listen.
There. We've said it. It's out there.
I'm just saying, if I had to choose between piloting a starfighter and... moving a marble around.
Moving the marble so every time. Every time!
Yeah, it's just awful.
Can I explain? This might make you feel better, Jason.
No, it won't.
Technically, it will, because it contradicts completely what you just said. Technically, you're not controlling a marble. You're controlling the tip of your sword. But they just graphically represent the tip that you're moving through the course. Isn't that cool?
No.
More than just a marble. Yes. Yes, just like on the game show originally. People thrusting their swords in the course and playing Operation, a giant game of Operation.
Why wouldn't I just play Operation?
Oh, because it's so small. And you need batteries.
Yeah, this I need a TV and $60.
And a console and a controller and electricity. And...
which are all better than batteries. You guys are missing my point completely. Come on.
A solitary place to play because nobody's going to be there and wants to see it.
Oh, nobody brought a solitary game this week, Hunter. Just stop it.
I don't know.
The hell?
I think I would leave if I saw somebody playing this game. I think I would leave the room.
Yeah, I would too. Like, people shouldn't play that game.
No.
Here's the
thing. Even pronounce it. That's the worst part.
I can't even pronounce it.
Like,
fun. I know it's great, isn't it? It's like a game. Just trying to pronounce the game. You can't even name the game without playing a game. Naming the game is a game in itself. Like, it's a mini game. Like, saying the title is the first game on the game.
Why is there an English word in there?
Because...
why does it go Uchanan-no-ho-no-no and then Challenger?
Because the game show did the same thing.
Why?
To appeal to people like you. Red-blooded Canadians.
Japanese, it's an interesting culture.
Yeah, and my game is a part of it.
Like, they have a restaurant called the Robot Restaurant.
That sounds actually pretty fun.
A toilet, a public toilet on a street corner. And all the walls were one-way mirrors. So on the outside you can't see in, but on the inside you can see everything around you. So cool. So quirky.
The worst part is the Neo Geo one looks so much better.
It really does.
It looks
but it another port, really?
No, it's completely different. The Irritating Maze, very, very, very different. Like, it actually has like color and art.
Wow.
Which, okay, cool, whatever. But it didn't come out in 1997. I would have picked it, but
it, you know. It did come out in 97.
It did?
Yeah.
I misread something then. I totally should have bought the Irritating Maze.
Yeah.
Let's distract everyone from that point. Here's the thing, Jason. At least
you brought the worst version
of the worst game.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to make this point. Here we go. Jason, at least my game and Hunter's game are unique, and they try to be fresh and exciting. Your game is just another bland space shooter in the endless line of Star Wars-themed space shooters on the PC.
It's true.
Whoa. One, you've admitted yours is a Marble Madness type ripoff game.
Which is the best.
So, not original. Yeah. Clay Fighter 63 and a third. It's a sequel.
It's a threequel.
It's a threequel.
In video games,
not original.
Nothing wrong with a threequel or a sequel or a fourth.
Exactly. So
fourquel.
I say more. You know, more Star Wars games the better.
Way too many Star Wars games.
That entirely.
No, man.
Just stop after the GameCube game.
God, Pod Racer? Ugh. So
bad. Not bad.
Oh, what?
It's not that bad.
No.
All right, final argument. Whatever. I'm done with you guys. Jason! Why should anyone vote for Star Wars Special Edition on VHS?
It's a Star Wars you always wanted to play. You can blow up ships with other ships. And it's not the new Chanin no Challenger game.
Wow. Which is amazing.
I was going to make a really bad joke, but I won't now.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you have to now. You mentioned it.
No, it's too late.
It's too late.
Go. Too late? Fine. Hunter!
Yes.
Why should anyone vote for a game that couldn't even use real graphics? Had to resort to children's play stuff.
Have you played a Nintendo game? Pretty much all like that. You,
they're pretty much all
dear listener, should vote for Clay Fighter 63 and a third, because it really was the end of an amazing series and an amazing era and fighters as we know it. Never again will this type of game ever exist, because the tweens of yesteryear will force it down the throats of bill collecting fat cats who try to make things different, and you end up in the indie game realm. Clay Fighter 63 and a third.
Yeah, that part where you said Clay Fighter 63 and a third sets the stage for fighting games to come. Such bullcrap.
Well, yeah, because it was the last one in the series, so, you know.
But it didn't set the stage for all of them. Whatever. You should vote for my game because it's wacky Japanese game time. Fun. Extravaganza Banzai.
I think that's actually a name of a video game.
Yeah. Probably right is. You should probably play it. It's probably the most fun game. So there it is. That's our showdown. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. If you want us to read your listener email discussion question, you just have to email us, podcast@onemorecastle.com. We're also looking for music, so if you know any chiptune artists or nerdcore or other geek-friendly musical acts, please let them know about the show. Have them submit to us. I want to congratulate Hunter once again on becoming a community manager, along with Tom Hall.
Woohoo!
Good job, guys.
Tom Hall!
And just to remind you, One More Castle sells t-shirts now. OneMoreCastle.com/shop. Keep an eye there. There might be other stuff coming too, one of which is actually legitimately super really cool, and I can't wait until the project is finished so we can unleash it. Otherwise, just a reminder, we broadcast 7:30 p.m. Central on Thursday evening. If you want to catch the live stream version of the show, which is crazy off the hizzle, we tweet the link from One More Castle. Speaking of links, Jason, any self-promotion, shout-outs, Canadian visit recommendation?
You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Lamb. And right now, through the One More Castle website, we're giving away a copy of XCOM Apocalypse.
Just giving it away.
All I gotta do is leave a comment saying your favorite N64 game and why you like it so much. And then I'll pick a random winner next week.
What's the connect between the two? XCOM Apocalypse, favorite N64 game.
There isn't. There isn't one. It's just...
There's no symbiotic relationship.
There is none.
Great. That's awesome. Way to go, Chase.
Somebody else needs to work on getting these events together.
We should have a community manager. Stuff.
Yeah, totally. Wait a second.
What? Speaking of community management, Hunter, any shout outs, self promotion, used cars?
You can follow me on Twitter as well at Eric Hunter. My indie game review blog is iamericm.com, where I review indie games and the mindset of the lonely console game. No used cars. Don't buy a used car. It's not worth it. Just buy a new.
My name is Eric Bailey.
Community manager. What was that, Bailey? We can't hear you.
That's okay. Nothing important. I do have one thing to say to our audience. And that is, remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week!